I think that a lot of people that are watching and listening right now wait for the moment. And they have something good happen. They get a TikTok that gets 3 million views. They have a best-selling book. They have a cosign from Hove or a million views on YouTube. When I was on Conan O'Brien in 2007, coming from a YouTube that nobody had heard of yet, and now I'm doing the Conan show, I'm like, this is it? The video went viral on the internet, and yet that was a tiny brick in the career of my life. Yeah, I think the way we think about how things work is you're gonna have this moment and then you're fucking Beyonce. When in reality, that really doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people get depressed because they worked hard for 4 years to get the moment.
Right.
They get the moment, 40 million views on TikTok. They're like, this is it. And then 3 months go by and they're like kind of in the same place they were with a little something more.
Right.
And they can't handle it.
I've definitely had moments where I struggle with it. You said like, I had this massive moment. I should be out of here right at this point. You know what I mean? Like, what is it still doing here? Because I've been in that place multiple times throughout my career, I've learned how to deal with it. And that's where like the patience come in. I'm like, you know what? It's just not my time right now, but I'm gonna stay locked in. I'm gonna continue to work, and I believe it will eventually happen.
Attention is the number one asset. Vayner Nation, how are you? Another episode of Podcast with Friends, episode 14. This has been a really fun new journey, kind of something that I've been excited about trying out in 2024. And I thank the three of you for being on the 14th episode. Really, my purpose with this, for everybody at home, if you're listening for the first time, or if you're watching live on Twitch, twitch.tv/GaryVee, is my goal is for the three people that I put on to become friends. Because anytime you get to spend, you know, 45 minutes, whatever you can, adds a little something. But most importantly, I want the people on this show to become friends with my audience. Want to spread the love to people that are doing interesting things and moving in different ways, and just inviting people on the come up or people that have done it to be on the show. And so I thank the three of you for being here. And as always, we will start with ladies first on the intro. So I'm going to give each of you a minute to say who you are, or two, if you want to be a little greedy, on who you are and a little bit about what you do. And then we're just going to chop it up.
Right.
Okay, well, chivalry's alive and well. I'm Arielle Arce. I don't even know how to explain myself. I feel like I'm an entrepreneur in the food and beverage space. The thing that I really do is kind of experiential dining. My first life was in the theater, so I kind of apply some of those techniques to restaurants. I'm born and raised in this neighborhood in Hell's Kitchen.
Amazing.
So I've spent my whole life kind of for the most part in New York, and opened my first restaurant about 8 years ago, which is a place called Tokyo Record Bar. I spent my early career working with champagne. So I have a champagne bar called Ayers. I opened a restaurant about 5 years ago called Niche Niche, which is now Roscioli, which is an Italian restaurant from Rome. It's their first outpost outside of Rome, which is pretty cool.
For us food and wine nerds, that was a big deal.
Not a bad move.
I was pumped. I was pumped about that.
Yes, I often get the, how did you do that? I say, I don't know.
But what is the actual answer? We're getting into high value immediately for the audience.
Yeah.
That's you being sweet and humble and cool about it, but like, what's the actual answer?
The actual answer
is... And paint the picture to people how improbable that was, like how hard it was to get that here. Like, I think I want people to hear, because you're very, you know, I was laughing, you very much are an entrepreneur, and that was a real coup if you nerd out in that industry like I do. Like, set up a... Actually, I don't want to spend time with that. I'll set up for everybody. That was a really improbable move for them to open up an outpost outside of where they were, and you pulled it off. How'd you do that?
Really through friendship more than anything. I think a huge part of my success in this business is the people that I meet and get to be around and the people that I like to work with. And COVID played a huge factor in it for all of us, which is during COVID, I had a restaurant that was constantly bringing people from around the world together. And I got to work with all these amazing people who I never in a million years thought I could like pick up the phone and say, you want to do something, but everyone was really game. And during COVID, I invited them to come to New York, and you know, this is after all the restrictions changed, and they came and did like a week takeover, and we just became friends. And so over the course of like the next year and a half, I was going to Rome, they were coming to New York, we were kind of dreaming of what we could do together. And this was a really kismet kind of organic situation.
Two things that I want everybody to hear from my perspective, and we'll keep it moving and we'll keep building on this, is one, recognizing the moment. You know, I think, I know a lot about your career, and so I can think of certain things I'm thinking now. We've had a nice conversation and I paid attention from afar. Like, I think recognizing them, a lot of people went on defense during COVID, especially in your industry.
Yeah, I did as well too, absolutely. Yeah,
yes, but you also made an offensive move there of like, let's go and figure out some stuff. And two, I think the biggest issue for a lot of kids is they don't realize the longer they can hold their breath, the more likely they'll pull off what they want.
Patience is important.
It's such a big deal. Everyone's so goddamn transactional. The amount of people that I would be fully open to doing business with that lose on the initial second because they just go in for the ask too hard. Like, you got to romance a dude a little something. Can you take me on a date? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people trying to close me on the first second. Like, like, you know, obviously I'm making the reference to girl and boy dynamics, but there's a lot of truth to that in business, which is like, if you're trying to close me on the first night and I don't know you like that, like, we're not doing business.
Right. Yeah, I'll court you a little bit.
For sure.
Little. Can I get a date or two?
Right.
I also, like, think it's more important as you have the experience of moving too quickly to learn that it is okay to take your time, because we all want to move very fast and we all want to be successful at a young age and prove ourselves and prove things to ourselves. And my most, I don't know, successful moments have 100%. Really been in the waiting and the seeing and the planning. You know, this is a relationship that we want to build together. So that was the kind of move with this. Opening a business with a bunch of Italian men is such a fun challenge.
Sure.
And, you know, there is moments in that where you go, is this a good relationship?
Is this 1982? Real quick, if I may interrupt, big shout out to Casey Culligan. Yes, I will be your Valentine's. If you're listening on the podcast, you can be part of the show by going to twitch.tv/GaryV. Casey asked if I could be his Valentine's, so I see what he's doing there. He's trying to romance me.
Right.
Nigel, jump
in. Early, huh? My name is Nigel Sylvester, professional BMX athlete, dreamer, entrepreneur, all around creative, New Yorker. I'm trying to, you know, make an introduction for you. No, but even what you guys are just talking about, right? Like that patience, right? And waiting for like that timing, you know, like similar. A lot of things that have been these big moments, these milestone moments in my career and in my life have come with me just being patient and being prepared and ready for the moment it presents itself. You know,
Can I ask you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Of course, no, go ahead.
I was going to ask you an important question that I think you uniquely can answer, which is why I'm jumping in. I love your career for a very specific reason, because I think it could be a real teaching for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Patience for sure, right? We're already on it. I think people really get fucked up with the big moments. So you've had a lot of patience. You also have a ton of talent.
Thank you.
So even at, I mean, we've known each other for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I was watching you for a while before that even happened. Like,
no, I appreciate
that. Because I watch how people move. Like, you've had some big cosign moments. You've had some big viral fucking videos.
Mm-hmm.
You've had big moments.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people that are watching and listening right now wait for the moment.
Right.
And they have something good happen. They get a TikTok that gets 3 million views. They have a best-selling book. They have a co-sign from Hove or a million views on YouTube.
Right.
When I was on Conan in 2007. When I was on Conan O'Brien in 2007, coming from a YouTube that nobody had heard of yet, and now I'm doing the Conan show, I'm like, this is it. This is when I'm going to go do that. And by the way, I also had a very unique thing happen. I crushed it and the video went viral on the internet. So not only was I on Conan, but because like I ate dirt with him and all this crazy shit, the video went viral on the internet. And yet that was a tiny brick in the career of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nigel, back to patience. Can you tell the kids right now about, you've had like 3, 6, 9 big moments that prior to any of them happening to you or when you were a kid, you would have thought that was gonna be the moment that made you be stopped in every, like, you know, I think the way we think about how things work is you're gonna have this moment and then you're fucking Beyonce. When in reality, that really doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't
It's like
happen.
The amount of people that have like brick by brick, like you have 26 massive moments and now you're kinda sort of, kinda getting on.
Yeah.
And I think when people have that big moment, and then a month goes, and they get a lot of heat, especially now. People are going viral real hard, but then are ghost a year from now, like Corn Kid's walking around like, yo, where's everybody at?
Right.
Like, you know, like maintaining like, that thing. You can't maintain. And so I think a lot of people get depressed because they worked hard for 4 years to get the moment.
Right.
They get the moment, 40 million views on TikTok. They're like, this is it. I'm gonna get the age, I'm gonna, right? And then 3 months go by and they're like kind of in the same place they were with a little something more.
Right.
And they can't handle it. Talk to me about having real moments, even though, but still being like in it. Do you know what I mean?
For sure, man. Like you said, like, had a lot of moments, right? I've been riding professionally for over 15 years now. You know what I mean? And I feel like came out the gate as like, quote unquote, like number one draft pick, right? I got signed by Dave Mirra, which is the legend of all legends when it comes to BMX riding. And then I signed with Nike a few months later.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 18.
Yeah, and that was it. Like, if I'm you, like right. I was watching that. I'm like, yeah, you're like LeBron Tiger. Like, you're right. Like, this is about to pop the fuck off.
I'm going to go crazy. You know? Right? I'm like, it's about to go crazy. But at that moment, I realized I had to continue to work even harder to maintain that thing.
Yeah,
and like you mentioned, throughout my career, I've had these crazy moments, like a co-sign by Hove and Pharrell and these massive, massive stars, you know, and like, that isn't the end all be all. Like, you have to maintain that now. Getting there is one thing, maintaining it is a whole other thing. And then maintaining and continuing to build your brand, continue to grow, especially as technology changes, social media happens, like things are constantly evolving. So you gotta just stay locked in. Really and truly, man.
Have you struggled ever in this journey of like, man, I've had all the, like, you know how it goes.
Right.
Up and down it, like, right? Like, have you ever had moments like, fuck, man, I've had 4 to 7, 10 massive moments. How the fuck am I sitting here where like, I'll give examples, like, I don't have as many deals or like, have you struggled with that? Or have you been kind of in pocket and you're like you calibrated that a long time ago and you're good? Or like, how does it go in your psyche?
I've definitely had moments where I struggle with it. I'm like, man, like you said, like I had this massive moment. I should be out of here right at this point. You know what I mean? Like, what is it still doing here? Like, but because I've been in that place multiple times throughout my career, I've learned how to deal with it. And that's where like the patience come in. I'm like, you know what? It's just not my time right now. But I'm gonna stay locked in. I'm gonna continue to work. And I believe it will eventually happen.
But what does our time mean? Like, to you?
To me, it's hitting one of those moments again, you know what I mean? Or it's that the entire brand levels up across the board. That's what I feel like is that time.
You
know,
it's funny you bring that up and then we'll go to you, Moshe. Where I got real lucky is I'm like fucking weird. I like, I'm like on some, like, it's really interesting to just hear you guys exchange. And this is like something I've been thinking, it's a very cliche common sentence, like enjoy the journey, not right?
Right.
Like, I really like the bad more than the good.
Mm.
I'm not chasing the next big moment. I'm enjoying when I'm in the process of the next moment more. I actually, my biggest flaw is the reverse. I'm not good at smelling roses.
No, it's impossible. Same.
I'm like, when I get the big moments, when something remarkable happens, I'm like usually like, it's super weird kind of. It's kind of like the way I am with my birthday. Like I hate my birthday and I like every other day of the year. Like I, you know, like I, and there's a lot of psychology to, and there's a lot of, to unpack there, but like I got very fortunate that I like the muckery and the pain like more than the.
Yeah, the chaos is
fine. It's kind of like the thing I envy in people that work out. Like I hate working out. I just want it to look good. But in business, I'm the reverse. Mm. I like the pain. And it almost like I don't even give a fuck if it's like six packs and I look remarkable. It's like, but in workout, I'm like, oh, this is how people live life. Like, I get why it's hard because this sucks for me.
Mm.
Moshe, say hello.
Hello, hello. My name is Moshe Gerst, and I'm really humbled, actually, just sitting here with the three of you. Such a pleasure. I'm from LA. I've had three very distinct chapters of my life so far. I spent 7 years as the lead singer of a rock band in LA. We were also signed to a label at 18 and national distribution, touring, radio,
like actually,
the whole nine
yards. Like not like kind of like the, we got signed, but like, no, like actually.
Right, fire.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, that was an amazing time in my life. And then I went off and had a spiritual awakening at 20 and walked away from all of that.
Like in the middle of tour, right? Do I remember that right?
Yeah, kind of like, we were about to go out with Good Charlotte at the time.
Yeah, like trying to get everybody to understand, like real.
Yeah, actually, the truth is somebody asked me a question at a record release party. They asked, how long are you going to do this for? Which is a weird question to ask a musician.
Especially like, when you said, no more now. Like, right. this is it. I'm out. See ya. Peace.
And, well, and at, this was before that, and I had never thought about an answer to that question. How long? You just do it. It's what you do. Why do you ride? Because you ride. Right. It's who you are, right? Why do you? Why involved in the food industry? Because it speaks to you. So I'm a musician. When music's in your heart, that's what you do. And I said something to the effect of, we'll play until we're successful and then I'll settle down. I always pictured myself a family man. And he said, when's that? I said, when's what? And he said, when's success? And at the time, I told him to grab another drink because he was killing my buzz.
But, sounds like it.
But I, but I woke up the next morning and that question kind of burned in me like a fever. Like, when is that? When is success? And that led me on this journey to, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I never really thought about life beyond what I was doing. So I went and studied in Jerusalem for like a little over 10 years, studying, praying, meditating, about 12 years.
Why straight to religion?
I was raised in a Jewish home. That's like, probably had I not been in a Jewish home, I would have ended up in India. I was just like, you just go, or somewhere else, right? Yeah. So I went to this place and...
Such a, by the way, such a common thing that I see in so many of my friends and contemporaries, very religious home. Then in their, right, their early youth, they go completely other way, like, fuck you. And then somewhere along the way, like, that those roots are so strong, they find their self. It's very, very common. I see it in so many. I have so many acquaintances, business relationships, and friends who've been on a very similar journey of, like, to the other extreme, to then, like, finding their way home.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's where I am now, in like this third chapter, which was like real deep study and contemplation, really just trying to find myself and figure out what life was about. And then now it's been channeling that back out into the world. So all that time on stage and all that time on writing, when I write books, to me, I see it as like putting out another album. When I go out and speak, it's going back on stage.
Right? That's right.
So it's really channeling what was into what is. And I love the fact that we've been speaking about patience till now, because that's for me like what this whole journey is. Like, the more you can lean into that, if you don't need it now, but you can keep walking in the direction of what you love and in your dreams. So whether your dreams show up the way you pictured them or not, you're going to have some great experiences along the way. And I think I have an opposite disposition than you in terms of like loving the mud and like not being able to smell the roses. And I feel like I'm always smelling the roses. Like,
it's awesome.
I'm so grateful for
everything. You know, it's so funny. I actually feel like that, like, to me, that is the point. It's actually the counter of what I'm saying is what I'm saying, which is my roses are the mud. Got it, man? My roses are the mud.
Right.
You know, like, what I'm trying to do is actually just do the occasional, like, yay, something good happened. Like, let's go out to dinner and, like, celebrate it. Like, I don't even do that. Like, it's kind of like, so, like, AJ's actually here. I don't see him. Like, he's starting to get annoyed with me. He's like, bro. He's like, you can't have like this, whatever the massive thing is. Right. He's like, can we at least like talk about? Because I almost overcorrect. It goes back to my birthday. I almost overcorrect. And I'm like, boom, like big exit of a big investment. Right. It's like I almost make pretend it doesn't happen. Right. It's almost because I'm so infatuated with the process. Let's take a hard turn. I want to do something that I haven't done in the prior 13 episodes. Now I want to go back again around the circle. And I want to give you 2 or 3 minutes to talk about something you're genuinely excited about that's going on for you. That is almost like a selfish play that might be selfless in letting people know about it, or might be able to show people's excitement. And more importantly, this, my audience is pretty epic. One of the reasons I wanted to hear is people that, like, books sell like crazy off this podcast. People, I have a really fun community and I want to try this. So please start us. Like, what do you, of all your projects or all the things you're doing, like, what would you, or like, if it's as simple as like, you'd love them to follow your journey on your Snapchat because you're doubling down on it. Like, what would you like this audience? I don't, you know, this is gonna be listened to a lot over the next couple of years. Like, I want people to discover you, and I want to double click on that more in these episodes back to friends. And so I want to give you that room. What do you want people to know?
What do I want people to know? Gosh. Well, okay. I will absolutely plug some things that I do.
Please.
But before I do that, I do feel like for the first time ever, I'm just feeling much more comfortable in my personal self.
Good.
Which, hearing all of your journeys, I have a feeling that we have probably similar ones, which is like, you don't actually enjoy those moments. You don't stop and say, wow, something incredible happened here with a lot of other people, and we can enjoy that. And I think you take a lot away from yourself and you don't actually really like yourself that much. So for a long time, I think the idea of happiness was something that was really foreign to me. I didn't really think about, like, am I happy? What makes me happy? So even though I love my work and I love all the things that I do and 90% of my life is my work, I'm finding much more time that I'm creating for myself to actually just do things that bring me pleasure and joy. And traveling is a huge part of that for me. And through my travels, I end up finding myself professionally inspired.
That's
and that
awesome.
Does create a lot of projects for myself.
Going off the grid creates...
Yeah, I mean, God forbid I went off the grid. Unfortunately, we have these phones that are constantly keeping us connected all the time. But
you're in control of the phone.
You are in control of the phone.
Right, like people are in love right now. We're in a very funny era, similar to the 30s. You know, like we banned alcohol in this country.
Yep.
Right. And because we blame the alcohol, we didn't blame ourselves.
Right.
Like we're doing it right now with phones and social media. Phones and social media are the alcohol of this 100 years later.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to blame the shit. We're going to ban these apps. We're going to demonize them. But a lot of it has to do with our inability to be accountable. Many parents would far prefer to blame Facebook and Elon Musk and TikTok than blame themselves.
Mm.
It's easier. Mm. And so this is definitely, like, whatever we're gonna go through here in the next 20 years, we're gonna unwind it because there's roots and there's causes. And like, to your point, yeah, they're around. You can also throw it in the fucking ocean. You can.
I want to all the time.
And you should.
And turn that shit off.
And you can though, right?
Regularly.
Like, by the way, sugar owns me.
Mm.
I don't have to eat it all the time.
Right.
I have pizza in that way.
Yeah, like it's, you know, like I think that it's really fast. Like people are like, no, the endorphin, they hear like a headline. Like, but social media gives you endorphin. I'm like, you know what else gives you endorphin? Like everything.
Everything.
Like people dressing sexy, music. Like people are so fun.
People are the best.
People are the best.
You love people. But then I'll say thank you for giving me a moment to talk about, I have a caviar company.
Okay, so first of all, you just turned something selfish into something very selfless. Caviar is my single, outside of English peas, my single favorite English thing peas. In the world to eat is caviar. God.
Wait, I was raised to hate peas, so that's a hilarious.
Let's arm wrestle. you don't like peas?
I do love peas, but the woman who raised me hated peas, so she tried to convince me that I hated peas, and so it took me a really long time to come back.
You know,
back
it's
to
funny.
Them, and
you
I have
said
a
something earlier.
I
wasn't going to jump in, but now what you just said, I really do care about this audience hearing things. It was funny, like you said, similar journeys, things like that, and you said, you know, for a long time, you needed to find a way to love yourself, and it's really weird. I'm like completely the reverse. The woman that raised me, my mother,
mm-hmm.
created a framework that I'm trying to figure out how to scale to the world through my content and my messaging. Like, I love myself in a way that has allowed me to love others at scale.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's interesting, though, even, like, the way you just talk, that piece thing caught me. Like, the woman that raised me taught me to hate, like, teaching people to hate things at a young age.
Well, she also told me that my first word was, I'm pretty and like to love yourself. She just hated peas.
Okay, got it. It wasn't even that heavy.
Incredible.
I'm trying to go like real legend. I was trying to go super deep. I was going super fucking deep. I was so hyped. I'm like, this is going to be the greatest fucking moment of my career.
But I want people to love themselves. And I love your mother for that.
Wow, she just hated peas.
I love it. I love it. English peas are my single favorite.
They are
food.
Just elegance and grace.
And when what is it about season, the pea that you're so infatuated
it's
with?
It's similar to sunflower seeds. I'm obsessed with sunflower seeds are in my top 10 as well, but I need them to be big.
Mm.
And okay. English peas are big. Like I like the size of and the flavor. Like,
and the crunch.
English peas are interesting. When they're too big, they like have no flavor. Like when they're in season and right sized, it's bananas flavor. But if they, when they start getting out of season, and I, even when I don't, like even bad English peas are like delicious to me, but what is it about them? Like I just love the flavor, but let's go back to it. You have a caviar company?
I have a caviar company.
I don't do influencer deals and I don't do like name, image, likeness, but I want to eat your caviar and post about it. Cause it's like, and I'll pay for it by the way. That wasn't alluding to I want free caviar.
I was like, wow, I should have
eaten some. I'm obsessed with caviar. What? And I'm also obsessed with champagne. So I think you're
also obsessed
doing
with
a lot of
champagne.
Things. Yeah. With things that I like.
I like to take things that people think are luxuries and make them affordable and accessible and approachable. It's kind of been my jam. I think like a lot of people don't realize that you can do whatever you want in your life. You can spend your money however you want. And you can have nice things if you want to work for them. And or even if you don't want to work for them and you have money to spend on them or you don't. Like, just do what you want to do and you don't have to justify that. And I think, you know, luxury has been positioned as you have to live a certain way and behave a certain way and look a certain way and to be able to have those things. Whereas I don't think that. So I have a caviar company that started out of my champagne bar where every year around the holidays, I just sold caviar at cost to anybody who wanted to buy it.
That's amazing.
And then during COVID, I was like, well, I know that this is the worst time to start a luxury food business, but apparently I was wrong and people seem to want to buy all experiences en masse. So we started it in 2020, in the summer of 2020. And it's direct to consumer for the most part.
What's
and
it called?
It's called Caviar. My name Spell is Air. C-A-V-I-A-I-R. So instead of caviar, caviar. And what we do is the work to find the best quality product that I can possibly find and offer lowest. To you at the best price
By
possible.
By the way, it's how I built Wine Library. Everything you were just talking about is how I felt about wine 30 years ago. And like nobody thought wine was cool that was under 40. And everybody was so snobby about it. And it became my biggest passion to demystify wine. And there's so much great wine that's super underpriced. And I think that's cool, especially when like you get deep into caviar world. That's super cool. I can't wait to check it out.
Thank you.
Nigel, what would you want people to go to, listen to, watch, follow?
Well, I definitely need to come and check out Caviar when when that happens. I need to do that.
Well, it's a direct to consumer. You can do it on your phone right now. Actually, we'd like you to prove to Twitch that you just bought some, so get it on your phone.
I think we were talking about it earlier, Moshi. Like it was when you handed me the book, and the first word I seen on the cover was intention. And I've been very intentional throughout business and throughout my career for a very long time. But I'm now taking an opportunity to apply that level of intention to my personal life. You know? And with the hopes to improve my relationships, be a better son, a better brother, a better friend, you know what I mean? A better listener. Like that's super important to me, you know?
Yeah, because you were so ambitious and so hungry and so in your own cocoon. How old are you now, brother?
35. No, 36. Look at that.
Love it. So you're literally, you lived one life all the way to that. You're 18 where you had these big moments, and now you're 18 more.
Right.
You can like pop up, still be young as fuck, still have 70. Actually, years ahead of you, God willing. And now you're like, wait a minute. I understand what I was doing for myself. Let me take a beat here and make sure I'm giving for especially
everyone
people
else.
Closer. Yeah, I love that.
No, I mean, and it's also like one of the quotes that I heard at a very young age from like Michael Jordan. It's like, it's okay to be selfish while you're chasing a goal and a dream. But when you get to that point where you reach a certain level of success, you have to be selfless and now give back. And that's been something that's it's very important to me right now,
good
right? And doing that work, again, from a personal standpoint, but also through my foundation. So I launched my foundation in 2021. I just Sylvester Foundation.
And so how do people find that from a .com standpoint?
It's NigelSylvesterFoundation.com. It's Nigel Foundation on Instagram and on Twitter. And we're doing work where like truly showing kids the power of bicycle riding.
Love it.
You know, and empowering kids and communities through bicycle riding and also through financial literacy.
Yeah.
You know, like the things that you don't learn in school about how money works and things of that nature that these kids need. So that's like super important to me as well. And then of course there's the projects that I can't like really dive into because
of
the element of surprise.
Top secret.
But we're working on some amazing things, you know what I mean? Like elevating the Go brand, you know, from the content standpoint to the product standpoint.
That's good.
And then Go Ride. So we did this event last year called Go Ride. And we did it on World Bicycle Day. And I wanted to create an opportunity on World Bicycle Day to galvanize bicycle communities around the world. So I was like, man, how do I do that? Like, how do I do something that's big, that's international? So like, we're gonna do a bike ride starting in London at 10 a.m. We're gonna ride 15 miles, jump on a jet, fly to New York, land in New York around like 6 p.m. and then do another 15-mile bike ride in New York. And it went off like nothing else. It was incredible.
Awesome.
You know, it was an incredible moment. Having my bicycle tires on two different continents in the same exact day. And now it's becoming an annual thing for me.
That's cool.
We're like getting kids out, riding bikes, staying healthy, bringing that community together. So it's something I'm going to be looking forward to doing this year as well. So it's going to be exciting.
That's wonderful. That's
awesome. Thank you.
I think what I'm like most excited about in my life these days is that I'm spending more time with my wife and kids. There was this point where I did feel like there were a bunch of moments that had to happen for me to be able to step back, just a drop off the gas to put energy in other places. And my wife started working with me recently, which has been just
awesome.
A dream.
Amazing.
So we get to work on all this stuff together. And maybe to piggyback on a line that you said, Ariel, you mentioned wanting to bring luxury and make it affordable to people. For me, everything I'm about is trying to take this deep wisdom that, you know, we all have, all cultures have, all spiritual paths have. But it gets lost in language. It gets lost in, you know, the archaicness of language. It gets lost in translation.
Gets lost in politics.
Gets lost in politics right. And in religion. And mm-hmm. It gets lost. And I want to take wisdom and make it accessible to people.
It's awesome.
Really making it easy. We're talking about plugs. The books are really, I've been so blessed. Yeah, oh, you guys are the best. The first one, It's All the Same to Me, you know, when that became a bestseller, it's like that was a life-changing moment for me and my wife, for sure, because we felt like, you know, we did it on some level, like that first level of recognition.
Of course. You're a human being. You write a book, you're like, I want to be a bestseller. Like, it's just, you know, like, that's just a normal behavior.
It was great.
It's not like people start shit and they're like, I hope this bombs.
But it was exactly what you said. It didn't end there. It's not like, and I was not Beyonce when that was done. Right.
I get it. I think about it all the time. Keep going.
But all the pieces led to the next, right? So that book leads to the TED Talk, and the TED Talk just recently passed 1 million views, which is like, that's also amazing. You know, and like that leads to another book deal, and you know, everything builds one on the other, but life happens in between.
100%.
Like, that's where it's all happening. Like, your life is the dash in between the moments. Mm-hmm. And I think a story that kind of typifies like my experience with this is on the flight on the way here. I landed yesterday. I'm sitting down, and the guy sitting to my left speaks to, like, a very chatty guy. He speaks to me for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, just talking to me about everything that's on his mind. And it's a 12-hour flight.
Oh,
and after 30 minutes, I go, well, it's nice to meet you. You know, by the way, my name's Moshe. And he goes, my name's Max. He says, Moshe what? I said, Moshe Gersh. He's like, the Moshe Gersh?
Right.
And I said, what do you mean? He's like, I love your books. He's like, you have no idea. And he's like, I was just talking about it.
You're like, keep talking.
So we end up having a 2.5-hour conversation.
All of a sudden.
About how much he loves me.
I've always got time for that. I'm like, give me 12 hours.
And it's just like amazing that you can be somewhere. And sometimes you get these winks from the universe. God's letting you know that like you're making a difference and having an impact. And you don't know. You just don't know how far it's going. So
it's also cool. If I may, did you want to say something else?
No.
Just how different the three of you roll. I think a lot about impact, to your point, making an impact, like how it comes in different sizes and shapes. So obviously, spirituality, religion, wisdom, writing books, that makes so much goddamn sense, right? Something I've been thinking a lot about lately is how much impact in a positive way Randy the Macho Man Savage and Richard Pryor had on my life, and I'm not kidding. Mm. How much escapism and joy they gave me. Mm. Like entertainment is incredibly misunderstood. You know, like, you know, living life, like, and I think we've felt it in the last 7 years, the world's gotten heavier. Mm. Last 15 years, it feels heavy, right? We all know like the 60s, like there's different decades that are just gonna be heavier than other decades. Mm. We're in heavier times than a lot of us grew up with. And, you know, you really start to value, like I was just thinking about like watching a video that's crazy that you made and how much value that actually brings to someone, no different than us maybe spitting something very thoughtful. Mm. Or like literally genuinely, just because I grew up in such food and wine environments, I really do think about these moments in my career where I remember one thing that I'm just, when Hearth first opened, I remember I had a meeting and it got canceled, and I'm never by myself. Like meeting, I'm always having meetings or I'm with my family. Like I travel, but this was before I was really traveling like that. And I had like a really good meal at the bar.
So good.
By myself. Mm. And when I tell you that meal and those four different wines I tried and like the meal and like, I mean, this is a random meal that happened in 2000.
Yeah, but I can still pull out a meal from Hearth like 10 years ago that changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
That is an excellent restaurant.
And like the impact, like to your point, like the impact, like that restaurateur, that execution, like even like, even that place specifically leading me on my journey to loving bone broth, right? Mm-hmm. Like you know, I think about these things, and I think that I'm just happy that the world is so complex that all of us, that somebody right now could leave a comment on this Twitch stream that could bring like a micro value to the other people on the Twitch. Like, I just think that there's a lot of ways to have a positive impact, and now humans with scaled social media and the internet can do it for each other. We focus so much on the bad There's so much good going on every minute. I don't know.
I think it's like 99% good.
I agree. With a fixation on the 1% bad. I completely agree. Right.
Why do you think we do that, though?
Because like, it's rubbernecking. It's how humans are built. You drive on the highway every day. There's no accident. You just drive normal. There's an accident. Why do you need to look?
Right.
Mm. It's humanity. Mm-hmm. It's why reality TV does well. It's why social media was so easy for me to understand day one. I'm like, oh, shit. This is reality TV at scale. Mm. Like, and when I was talking about Twitter on stages in 2007, I would go to Q&A, and every time in the first 2 years of me saying Twitter's next, Twitter's gonna be big, you need to be on Twitter, every time Q&A opened, somebody would be like, Gary, let me get this straight. You're telling me like you're gonna, what is it, a tweet? You're gonna tweet out that you're walking the dog? Who gives a that you're walking the dog? And I would always stun the crowd every time by saying everyone. And it would take the air out of the room every time. And it was like the most go-to, back to Richard Pryor, I had my shit down. Right. I was like, I know someone's gonna ask, I can't wait to time it. I'm gonna be like, everyone. Right. And everybody, what? Because, I mean, this is 17 years, this is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and people like, and people were like, huh? Like, people didn't believe me, actually. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but what I knew is that people are just interested in other people. There's lots of yentas in the world, right? And two, we take a look at the things that aren't the normal. We don't appreciate when shit works. Airports. Mm-hmm. Do you know how upset I get when people lose their fucking mind? I'm the poor people working at the fucking desk at an
it's
airport.
It's fucking terrible.
Like you were flying a massive machine in the air. You require that Wi-Fi works on. Like, it is like a remarkable human feat. Right. It didn't exist.
Right.
Like 125 years, it's brand new. It's a new invention. It's insane. It changed the whole world. It globalized the world. Mm. And like, it's late by an hour, you know, because they don't want you to fucking die. It is late for an hour for one reason. They would prefer that you do not die.
Yeah, relax.
It's raining and we're gonna wait an extra 50 minutes, or there's a part and the light's on and we're not gonna fly, so you motherfucker don't die. And you're yelling at me. I get that it's grandma's 85th birthday. You should have left yesterday.
Right. Give yourself some more time.
Fuck, man. Literally, I travel a lot, like yelling, like, this is such bull. I'm like, the plane's being made. Sometimes I get a little bit Superman like and jump in. I'm like, the plane's being maintenanced. Do you want to go on the plane and die?
Do you actually jump in and like?
Yeah, I get weird. I do it less now because I don't want them to be like, Gary V. Like, right. No, I still do it. Like, it's not flying because they don't want you to die.
Right.
Like, hurts my heart though when I see people who get so affected and disrupted because it's, I'm not sure about you guys, but like piggybacking off of patience. Like, it's never about the thing. It's always about how you were raised and what you saw and how you react. And it's like such a learned skill that you have to, like, I used to see my mother get so angry about things. She's like, I don't care and I'm gonna get what I want. And like half the time she'd beat people into the ground and she'd get it. And so you see that and you're like, well, that's a tactic.
Yeah, but what you didn't know was what happened on the back.
But then when you do it, you're like, this feels horrible.
There was also another thing. You didn't know what was happening on the back end. It's very nice that you got this little micro win. You won the battle, you lost the war.
Oh my God. And
you end up being 87 and you have 2.5 friends
that
are fucked
up. The internalization of the stress and the anxiety that that woman had because of it, but 100%. It's also inherited her mother's trauma. Like the whole thing. Well, and you have to learn that.
Teach yourself. I love you for saying what you just said. At VCon last year, I had a line that said, I was just kind of changing subjects. I was like, oh, by the way, fuck your grandparents. And everyone was like, very good. Right, like 10,000 people looking at me like, what? And I was like, let me just go on this for a minute because I'm in the mood. Everyone that's mad at their parents did that to them. Right. I got very fortunate. My grandma was an interesting character. I knew her mom. I knew my great-grandma pretty well. Because in Russia, in the USSR, where I was born, everybody had babies at 20. So it was like 20, 40, 60. Like, you know, so like, I knew my great-grandma well. I was in high school when my great-grandma passed away.
You had to have conversations with your great-grandma. Like,
I would have a lot of, but my great-grandma, back to where you're painting a picture, and this is the picture I'm trying to paint the audience, my great-grandmother and my grandmother were incredibly negative.
Mm.
And even though my dad has a lot of that, like he's just a better version, and I have a lot of admiration for my, like, but if I had never met those two, I would have had a lot more resentment towards my dad.
Right. Yeah.
But by able, you know, because I can tell you right now, like, fuck your grandparents, but if you never met them, and you know your dad or your mom is like really fucking you up with their negativity, but you never met Grandma Joe, right? Like, then you don't really know. I really, like, yes, I had a lot of conversations with my great-grandma Anya. Incredible. You know what the conversations were? Her shitting on everyone in the family.
That's crazy.
That was 99.9% of our conversations.
That's crazy. Yep.
Which then 97.3% of the conversations with my grandma were that, and 95% of my dad's conversations with me early on were that, and then I watched my dad transform a lot because of our time together and because he wanted to break the pattern a little bit.
Right. Breaking up generational curses is so important, and it's something when I speak about being intentional, that like I realized that within like the past few years, right, like going to family dinners or things of that nature and seeing kind of these patterns, I'm like, nah, this cannot continue.
It can't.
You know, like.
It'll break you.
And being like intentional about breaking those things, like the conversations I'm having, especially with my niece, my nephew, and like certain things I'm doing, certain moves I'm making nowadays, it's to dismantle that and kind of start fresh a little bit, create some new positive patterns.
You know what's funny about that, Nigel? Breaking the generational thing, the hypocrisy drives me crazy. Back to like accountability, like watching grown-ups, like complete, like, you know, I'm 48 now, I grew up with a lot of people, like, you know, people, like, you live life, like, just watching friends who like shit on their parents for doing things and now they're 100% doing the same thing. Right. Hypocrisy. And then just like, at one point, this is actually a good question, at what point, I'd love to see someone say, at what point can you finally be in a place where like it's time to no longer just blame your parents for everything and act like an adult and put in the work? Like, we're so fortunate. We live in 2024. We know about meditation. We know about therapy. Like, we've destigmatized. I get it. In the 80s, you went to therapy. You went to a psych. You're crazy. You're a wacko. Like, I get it. That was hard. The good thing about, listen, the world's got plenty of strengths and weaknesses. One great new strength of the last 30 years is we've destigmatized a fucking ton of shit.
Yeah.
So now you're 39, and my question to you, Ron, is you're 39 fucking years old. I can't have dinner with you for the 1700th time where you're like, and the reason I'm a loser is because my dad's a piece of shit. You're 39.
Right.
Like, you're capable. Step up and break it.
I think J.K. Rowling had a line where she said at some point that there's an expiration date on how long you can blame your parents for your life.
What was her number?
That's a great question. I don't know
what is actually for fun. None of us know. We're just now shooting the shit. What's the number?
Of?
What's the number that we're deciding, the four of us? We're going to make a new rule for life right here on the spot.
I never want to be an adult. So I.
So forever? There is no number?
Forever. I think that like just because I'm adult then means I'm good, right? And I'm better at what I wasn't when I wasn't an adult because I've now learned and processed. I think like that's the part that I sit with where I'm like, what is the thing that makes me feel like I'm doing something that's adult? And people look at me all the time, I think, and I send a bit of a mixed message because I'm 36 years old. Mm-hmm. Shout out to 36.
87.
And I feel soon to be 37.
Close, yep,
and
yep,
I still feel like I'm 18 years old and I can behave however I want. And then I wake up some days and I'm just like, your body can't handle these things anymore. Or like, you know, you can't behave this way. Or
give us a very detailed example.
Those hangovers hit hard,
things
huh?
that your body can't handle anymore. Like, give me a recent Friday or Saturday night. Give it to us in real detail. Names would be preferable.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't do this anymore.
It's not, like, I could, but I could also just say, like, last night I went out for dinner. I went to a cool restaurant that I've never been to before. I was with 8 incredible people, all of my age, maybe a little bit older. We were all sharing dinner and drinks. I had 2 martinis, and I had to be up. Because I set this expectation for myself at 7 o'clock to go do Pilates because I have to exercise now to feel good every day. And it was really difficult to get up and I went to bed at 10:30.
So it's I love
like,
you.
It's not even that I did so much. It's just like, it compounds. Like there's never gonna be enough sleep for me again to make up for the sleep that I didn't have. It's just like, now I have to treat myself better. I have to take care of myself more in a way that I didn't at some point. And I'm sad that I have to do that, but I'm also loving this journey of like feeling like a healthy, more.
Right. So there's a little part of you that wishes you could still be in a place where you'd go to sleep at 2:30, wake up at 7, everything was good, but you're also proud of yourself that you've achieved this place of two small drinks and a meal 10:30. And it like I love that.
Big crazy night.
Ironically, since COVID, I've been pushing emphatically for 6, 7, or 8, or 9 hours of sleep. And I've been like insane, like a run that is like remarkable all time. And I've always been good. Like I always got mad when people were like, Gary Vee, you're always pushing like work hard. I was like, you're not hearing my message. I'm like it so much that you always want to work it. And then if you got there, then you're working hard and you're going to love it. But I always slept, even in the height of like when I was young Gary Vee, I was sleeping. Ironically, last night was the first time that I only had 4 hours of sleep in 100,000 years because I'm still on West Coast time from a recent trip because I was there for a long period of time and I'm like still trying to calibrate. And I decided that I wanted to play 6 a.m. basketball today. Okay. And so I had to wake up at 5. And so it was like it was, I can't believe we're talking about that literally last night. All right, I want you to open up a pack of V-Friends. This is my Pokemon meets Marvel world, V-Friends.
This is my second pack for the day. So earlier I got,
you pulled one of these.
So it's in my pocket. Yeah.
All right, here's the game we're doing on the podcast. Look at the cards, tell me which card you most resonate with. Which card, look at it. Which card, which character do you most resonate with? I'm gonna go with this.
And put it down?
Yep, just your key. Yep, you can put the others. By the way, save all these cards because I'm gonna work very hard over the next 30 years and they're gonna be worth lots and lots of money one day.
Amen.
And you're gonna look back at this video and be like, I can't believe I threw that out. It would have been such a good collectible. Okay, here we go.
I like all these.
Ariel.
Oh, I should.
Ladies first. Yes, show it and tell us why. Which character?
The versatile Viking.
There we go.
Which is a very good card. Very big score, 73 out of 75. Very good for the game.
Great.
Why versatile Viking? You feel very versatile? You associate with that?
Yeah, I'm a very flexible and constantly pivoting human being.
Love that. That is...
I didn't even read the name of that. I actually just looked at this character and I went, I feel like this
today.
Oh,
so you didn't even look? No, you went visual.
Yeah.
I like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I didn't feel read anything.
Like you're attracted to the first time?
No, I feel like this person.
Got it.
I'm like, really good. Here go. I am today.
Nigel, he's doing one more.
I want to make sure I make it good.
Did you go visual or did you go with the name?
I went visual for sure.
Oh, man, both visual. You went visual too or you looked at the
name? No,
name. I didn't look at the name until after you said it. I went with Juicy Jaguar.
Juicy Yuck. Jaguar.
Yeah.
You find yourself juicy.
I like that.
I like the mystery of it. That's what I like. It's like, what's going on here?
I'll tell you what I did with those characters. I created mystery. If you don't put pupils in the eyes, I think that you get mystery.
Mm. It's definitely giving mystery.
The black cat, as you can see on the is the logo of our entire world.
Right.
So that's the very, 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 very lucky black cat.
Right.
Okay. I have real feelings that black cats are bad luck.
I grew up thinking the same thing. Yeah, they cross my path, I'll cross the street.
I have like some very deep-rooted, like the world is not doing
that's
the right thing by that. I have
something or other.
Well, yeah, the superstitions that my family, I have none. My back to overcorrecting, my family is so deeply Eastern European, everything's a superstition in my house. I can't go to like an old relative's house without 87 things that happen that are guaranteed. Oh, you tripped on the rug. That means Uncle John's gonna fucking die. I'm like, God damn it. It's like, so now I'm completely, I don't believe in shit. There's like 13 fucking blackout. I believe
none of it.
Zero. Goose egg. What do you got?
Well, it's working for you.
Thank you.
Dynamic dinosaur, right?
We got to show
So, you know, now that I'm looking at it a little bit more, it kind of reminds me of Yoshi, if you remember that.
Of course.
Yeah, growing up. Yeah. So, and that was always a lovable character. So I like the image. But the dynamic element, I think, is what really spoke to me. Life is so full, and you don't have to choose one thing. You can do many things and
100%.
Allow your energy to flow through and all the different things that you're doing.
I love it. I went with like a sponge. This sponge character. It's really funny. Like when I do things like this, I'm talking all the time. Obviously when I'm on stage, I talk. Mm. A stunning percentage of my life is listening. I watch like crazy. I grew up in a liquor store where my dad's first words were, watch the employees, they're gonna steal.
Right.
So I was like, I'm 14. I'm a fucking child. I'm like, I'm scared. This guy's going to steal the vodka. What did he just do with his hands? I was the oldest brother of two, and mom's like, I would babysit at 13. Like, you know, the 80s, like, people did everything young. Like, it's not this, you know, very pillowcase world. Like everything was like, I was babysitting my brother and sister for like 4 hours when I was like 14, 13. Right. Like mom went to the store, like, you had to do that shit. Like, so I've been always like watching, and then I do listening for a living. I watch the culture, like, right. I watch everything. I watch how the platforms work, society. And so, like a sponge, I like paying attention and like absorbing.
There we go.
Final words.
I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
This was really great.
Have one word, love.
Yeah, good, great word.
I think a lot about that. It's not that some people are lucky, it's that some people are looking.
I like that too. Mm. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I'll just piggyback off that. Probably, like, I have a lot, I love sayings, anecdotes, analogies. It's how I communicate. I somebody either asked me something that was close to this, and then I started asking myself that. Yeah, somebody asked me a question that was similar to this. It wasn't this. And then that triggered me after the podcast, like that evening laying and thinking about this. I thought to myself, like, if I had like one last, like 8 billion people watching me on live stream, and it's like my last day, like what saying captures it all for me? That like could really be valuable to people. It's very similar to that. It's in life you find what you're looking for. And there, because of it, it's a good sum up of what we've been talking a lot about here. Because of what's on the inside, you're either looking for problems, you're looking for negativity, you're looking for the dark, or you're looking for the light.
Right.
And like, I really believe in life you find what you're looking for. And I like really ask everyone who's listening, take a step back and figure out what you need to do to not look for the negative in people, to not look for the problem. It's why I want people to stop consuming the news. The news has figured out the model. Social media is, I laugh when people talk about the news is pumping fucking negativity at scale. Do you really watch the news in the background?
It's not news, like, it's the bad news.
3-alarm fire. They're like can you report like John was nice to Steve at the CVS today? Can you report that shit? Because I don't give a fuck. Like it's insane. Everything's fucking car this, murder that. And it's because people rubberneck.
Right, people
love
it.
They want ratings. Get the fuck off that drug.
People love it.
And by the way, the news, you can't control what they program. Social media, your feed is you. Right. Let me just say it real quick. You wanted the most accountable moment of the show? Your feed is you. I get Jets news, wine shit, happy-go-lucky. I'm happy as fuck when I open my app. If you've got nothing but negativity, you're negative.
Right.
The algorithm is blank. It is paying attention to what you're gonna pay attention to. The algorithm is you. You are the algorithm. So if you're opening your app and you're like, I feel bad and this is all negative, it's you. Fix it. You're capable. See you next time.
Yo.
New book is coming. The follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook. But I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in the new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. It goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention, the updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff, and the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read, and hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world, and especially social media first world. Day Trading Attention, out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now.